Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. Like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely receive, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening again, and welcome to Hope is Alive. And we thank you for joining us. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening. I am here, highly favored and blessed.
Amen. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from rainy Oklahoma.
Praise the Lord. The rain is good there this time of year, isn't it?
Well, yes, I will take it. We got a couple inches in the Oklahoma City area today, and there was even more in certain parts of the state. So,
awesome.
Yeah, we have to have rain at some time, and we'll take it.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Ralph, I'll keep an eye on the phone lines, and I'll turn it over to you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, Pastor. How are we doing?
Well, blessed again, and I know you are too.
I am, and it's good to get that rain. I know that the Ozarks have been extremely dry. In fact, I read a story last week about a squirrel that got shocked on a power line, and when it fell off, it was on fire, and it started a brush fire. Now, how they were able to figure that out, I don't know, but when you hear a story like that, it just sticks in your mind. So thank you, Lord, for the rain. We've had it too here in the Ozarks. And it's much needed because it has been dry, dry, dry. And good evening, folks. Thank you for joining us this evening for Hope is Alive. This is a testimony show about the supernatural works of Jesus. And to start off, I have a testimony. Today working, I'd walked in with one of my customers, and the spirit was moving on me because somebody said something, and I just got to witnessing. It was about things going on in America today. And when I was all said and done, the ladies that were there getting their hair done and cutting hair, and they were looking at me, and one of them said, "Do you remember that sheet you gave me last time you were here?" That was about 5 months ago. And I'm fairly confident what I had given her was a breaking ungodly soul ties. And but I'm not 100% sure because she didn't have the sheet, and that's just what I remembered. But anyway, she said to me, that sheet changed my life. And I was like, well, praise the Lord. And we talked a little about some stuff, and she said, well, here in a minute, I want to fill you in on it. And I said, all right. So basically what she told me was she'd been having a lot of marital issues, and that sheet helped her, and both her and her husband, overcome the marital issue. She said, we had to pray that, it seemed like 100 times, but we prayed it, and now there's been forgiveness on both our parts. We're stronger than ever, and because of that, we're now they're going to some sort of schooling to try to better the lives of the Assembly of God ministers. So I just I praise Jesus for that, because it was the Holy Spirit working for me that night, that day. But I was ready in season and out of season. I was prepared. I heard an opportunity to witness on something that day, apparently, or I wouldn't have given it to her. So I just want to encourage people out there. I'm nothing special. I'm just a servant trying to do his best to fill the Great Commission, and that's part of it. And I'm not a pro, sort of, so to speak. The only reason I'm bringing that up is we had a caller during the prayer meeting who I've heard him call a couple times before, and he was asked to lead us in prayer, and he kind of humbly and sheepishly said, no, I'll leave it to the pros. And thankfully Brother Richard said, no, you're just as much of a pro as the rest of us are. So that's just something we want to get out there, is these things that we talk about and do here on Scripture for America and at Deliverance Ministry, these aren't anything that you have to be a pro at. You're a pro the day that the Lord calls you into service, because he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what leads, guides, directs, comforts, provides, and will do everything for you. A good scripture out there to remember is Luke 12:12. Pastor Cox has pointed that out to me, and I've declared it often. I declared it before we went on the radio program tonight, and it's a scripture where it's a promise to us by the words of Jesus that when we're brought up before men, that we'll be given what to say in that very hour. And when you have an opportunity, to pray for someone, witness someone, the Holy Spirit will take our imperfections and perfect it and bring it up to the Father. Just take the time there to be that person. And I know that we can get nervous on the radio. I remember the first few times I went on, how it kind of gets a little nerve-wracking. I remember the first few times I ever called way back years ago. I didn't want to do it, but just do it. And Brother Rob, I just want to encourage you on that. No way whatsoever is trying to point you out or pick on you, but you are a pro, brother. You are a pro. You have just as much of a right of the Great Commission as I do, that Pastor Cox does, that
amen.
Richard, Brother John.
Amen, amen.
Brother Nick. We all have that pro ability. We are in the big leagues.
It's normal Christianity.
Amen. So I just wanted to get that out and encourage it. Also have another prayer, praise report. I almost called in last hour. I was like, well, we only got one caller, so I could take some time on this program to do it. We had a cousin of mine whose two-year-old child fell out of a second-story window this week.
Wow.
And was rushed to the ER. And I don't know exactly what was wrong with him, other than he fell and hit his head. So I've got it out on, I've kind of got a prayer chain. I sent it out to some men. And I know that my family was praying, and I'm going to try to find the praise report. This came to my mom. I mean, she had, I don't know if she even knew I prayed or not, but sent it out. But this is what she said. She said, Joyce, which is mama, my baby is eating and drinking and walking and talking. He made a total 360 overnight. God heard all our prayers.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
The doctor said the baby is a miracle, and they released him today. She said she told the doctor it was due to prayer. So I'm glad that my cousin Ashley gave glory to Jesus and recognized that. And that is the power out there that we have as a Christian. And that's what this program is all about, is the testimony of others that do it and practice it. And it's there to encourage, because our testimony our testimony is part of what overcomes the enemy. We overcome
exactly.
By the blood of our blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So it is so important out there to give your testimony to people, because you don't understand. Some people don't realize is how much that can encourage someone else. It may be that it doesn't encourage you or think much of it, but it could be the exact word that somebody out there needs to hear at that point in that time in their life. They'll be ready.
You never know.
You never know.
And just like you handing the that handout to the lady, and I have to admit, I got tears in my eyes as you told that, because we just never know when something might click with someone. And of course, breaking ungodly soul ties, that we've seen that bring relief in many marriages. My wife and I even have done that from time to time with each other. As there's no downside in doing it, because all we're doing is breaking any ungodly soul ties. We keep the godly soul ties. So it's a safe prayer to do, and there's a lot of power in that, because what happens is evil spirits so typically are stirring the pot between people. And, you know, stirring the pot to the point to try to steal, kill, and destroy. And they're doing that in many, many marriages. So that's awesome, awesome report. I'm excited to hear that, Ralph. Thanks for sharing that.
Oh, you're welcome. It was it brightened up my day. It was right at the beginning of the day too, of work, and it just set the tone for me for the day. And I ended up witnessing to quite a few people on this and that. And just as you're out there, people, take the time to listen. If you listen, it won't take long before you start seeing people that need to know more about Jesus, and not just about Jesus, what Jesus can do for you. While I was in that salon, I remember a woman saying something to me. She said, well what is the answer then? And,
you just happened to know the answer, didn't you?
Yeah, and I said, well, that's easy. I said, first and foremost, I said, men need to start becoming men in this country again, and getting on their knees and repenting. And I talked to her about 2 Chronicles 7:14, other things, and I said, we unfortunately do not have men in this country that understand how to be men. And a lot of that has been brought in by the enemy. A lot of that comes from the curses that laid out in the Bible. And we as Christians could help cast some of those demonic spirits out of people so they can get masculine again. That was some of the things I told her. And she was just pleased. You could just tell by the look in her face that she was pleased to hear something. And I believe I shared with most of them in there this program. So hopefully some of them are listening in this evening. And if they are, hey. Glad to tune it in. If not, that's okay. But, Pastor, we've got our first caller. Anthony is on the line. Anthony was joined us last week, and he was really on fire, and he said on some more stuff with Pastor this week, and he was seemed to be telling it better, so we brought him back on. Anthony, are you there?
I am, sir, yes.
Thank you.
All right.
And, can you hear us okay? Pastor was saying he had trouble hearing us last week. Can you hear us okay before we get started?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, all right. Well, again, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, Anthony, so appreciate it. And seems like every week that goes by, we have more spiritual adventure. Would you say that's correct, Anthony?
Absolutely. We're definitely having fun.
Amen. You know, it's life is kind of boring by contrast, and I just constantly praise God that somebody shared this works of Jesus and how normal Christians can do it, just like ourselves, that it's normal Christianity to do this works of Jesus in his name. And I had no idea about that. It was 39 years ago when I got introduced to it. But we had our usual weekly activity Monday night, and we just had 11 cases. We had actually extra ministers Monday night. I think we had 15, 16, 17 ministers there, so we were well equipped to handle the evening. And maybe, Anthony, you could share. You were sitting in with me, and what were your observations with the man that we ministered to?
Yeah, this we went over and got him. He was there waiting to be ministered to, and I noticed when you kind of got him, he almost kind of acted like you had to kind of wake him up when we went and got him out of his chair. And he kind of come over there real slumbering like, and as he kind of worked his way over there and sat in the chair, and just he really acted a lot like a zombie, is kind of what I would explain it. And he sat there for just a little bit, and I started kind of looking at his paper, and he only had like maybe two or three things circled, and I thought, man, that guy that, you know, seems to be kind of slumbering along, you'd think he might have a couple more things than what he circled there. But we kind of started talking to him there a little bit, and it seemed like the more, you know, you got the little check marks by the things that we, you know, minister to, even though if they don't circle them, it seemed like every time we would hit on those main things, he would just really seem to get an enormous amount of relief. He would kind of tense up just a little bit, and then we'd speak in tongues over him and lay the Bible on him, and he would just blow them out. Sometimes he would yawn, sometimes he would hiccup, or a burp a couple times, and every time he just seemed to get lighter, and he even made the comment that I feel lighter every time one would go. And it just seemed like his smile just kept, every time one would go, he would just seem to get, his smile would get brighter and brighter. And to me, it even looked like his facial features and stuff were changing throughout the evening, to where he went from, like, you know, his eyes closed, head down, his head was up, his eyes were open, he's smiling. It's just a miraculous difference between from what we started with what we ended up with at the end.
And we did the limb check. You might tell about that.
Yeah, we checked his legs. At first, they were at least half an inch shorter on one leg. And you commanded in Jesus' name, adjust, pain, go. And it just, as soon as he said that, just grew right out. I'd say at least a good half inch, three quarters of an inch. And even he saw it. He was like, wow. You know, he was just amazed by it. So then when we stood him up and said, well, what we're going to do now is we're going to, you know, pray over your brain stem with the squeezing of the C1, C2, and, you know, bring everything into perfect alignment. You could tell that his things were happening. He was kind of tweaking a little bit, and it's almost like somebody was actually adjusting him, like that, just where you laying your hands over the top of his neck. And he mentioned, after that, he mentioned all that popping in his shoulders, and he said, you know, I've had popping in my shoulders. And he was like, well, what do you mean popping? He's like, well, so he kind of showed him, you could just hear the cracking in his shoulders, like popcorn kind of, is what
it
sounded like.
It.
So I said, well, you know, you don't have to settle with that. And so we kind of got over the back of him and started praying over him, and he starts kind of moving his shoulders back and forth, and kind of like he's working weights, and he wouldn't say anything. And I remember we said, well, are you okay? Because, you know, you could tell on his face he was felt okay, but he just kept doing his shoulders back and forth. He says, ever since I was a young child, I've never been able to do this without my shoulders cracking. And you physically could hear the cracking stop. And he goes, I'm just amazed. I'm just in total amazement. That he just kept repeating that. And I was in total amazement, too, because I heard the popping before we started, so...
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And And then he already had the baptism. The Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues. Of course, he'd gone through the door closing prayer, breaking all the curses and generational curses and assignments. And we went through the interview and then finally got into the ministry of breaking ungodly soul ties. We did a couple of those and some inner healing on some traumas of the past that he locked onto. Yeah, he'd had his parents divorced when he was in the third grade. And of course, any child, and it was not, he didn't suspect any of that. The parents never shared with him and his brother that they were having problems, and then just suddenly it was announced they were separating. Well, you can imagine the trauma that would put on a third grader. And of course he had feelings that went with that. We kind of had to dig those feelings out, as I remember, didn't we?
Yeah, because I remember this is the second guy in a row that when we first started the interview, both of them said, well, I really don't have all that many problems. And then at the end of the night, both of us and both nights looked at each other like, wow, you know, this guy had no problems, you know. And he readily admitted how much better he felt. And I always want to say, I've yet to say it, but I would like to say, you know, and you came in here with no problems, remember? You can imagine the response on their, you know, the look on their face or the response they would give you when, you know, were to say something like that.
There was a good three dozen. I'm sure we got a good three dozen plus spirits out, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. For sure. Because, you know, some of them we even had to group together, you know, on our sheet. And I could literally feel when you'd say, in Jesus' name, I command you, go. And then I would be behind him. I'd put my Bible on him. And I was speaking in tongues. And I could literally feel his whole body just shudder, like somebody was really, really cold. And then as soon as he would stop shuddering, his shoulders would raise up, almost like something just got lifted off of him. It's just amazing.
Yeah, no, the guy on the street would never believe all this stuff, would they?
They absolutely would not. No, the church I grew up in would be completely blown away just to see one of these cases and the countless cases just I have witnessed, and I'm, you know, couldn't even imagine all the cases you've seen over the years. But it's just absolutely an amazing works of Jesus that are still happening today.
You might tell the listeners again, Anthony, how long have you been at this, getting into it?
This is probably, since I've been going repetitively, this is probably about my sixth week of being at the ministry on Monday night, and I've been going through the training and with the lady there, Mary Jo, that does our teaching, and then Richard Peterson there at the end, going through more of the training, trying to learn this. I've known about it probably for knowing about it about 4 or 5 years, but I've just, something come over me, and I've just got a fire desire to just learn as much about it as I possibly can, and keep coming up on Monday nights, and as you say, setting the captives free, because that's exactly what we're doing.
And of course, you experienced freedom yourself from a number of things that had bothered you since a child, even, I guess, all your life, the fear stuff and all.
Yes. Yes, I had the fear of storms. You know, like I was saying last week, I mean, it was absolutely, I couldn't do anything. I mean, without checking a weather report, if it was cloudy, partly cloudy, if it was going to storm and I had to go through that state to get there, I wouldn't go. I mean, I didn't even want to take the chance. And now, I don't even watch the news anymore, because the only reason I watched the news was for the weather. So, I've taken most of the stuff off my phone that would warn me of bad things, bad weather coming up and stuff. So I mean, it's just literally, I'm finally free after all these years of, you know, and I can just imagine how many people that are dealing with, you know, certain same kind of fears or certain kind of fears that, you know, it's just life changing, life altering to finally be free. And
one
and have that understanding,
sure,
you know, that the Holy Spirit puts in you to know that, you know, I'm by your side, I'm always here. And then once you know that, it's just amazing.
And that God does not give us a spirit of fear, so we know who it is. And it may have some entry that we need to deal with, some root that fear came in through often as a child, and we can do inner healing on that. Get that door closed, and then the spirits are easy to cast out. Well, even today was a test for you on storms. There was some thunder around today. Did you experience it in your area?
I sure did, yeah. There was lightning and thunder, and we work in a metal building, so it sounds three times as bad as I'm sure it is outside. But my folks had to run some things to the post office. And, of course, we work for a family business, but they had to run to the post office, left me there by myself, which most of the time that would have been the end of the road right there. I couldn't handle that. And I sat there about my business, just doing my work, and I heard the rain, heard the thunder, and all the TVs were off, and just, I was, you know, for a second I stopped there for a minute, thought, wow, this is amazing. I even said it out loud to myself, you know, like, this is not even, I ain't even getting any anxiety, heart racing, nothing. And that's just, I'm like I say, it's just miraculous.
And think how many have that fear. You know, it's the most common spirit we run into. While most people will have at least three dozen spirits of different types of anger and rage and depression, and of course addictions of all types and compulsions and so on. But fear is probably the most common, and it would be rare that a person that comes from ministry doesn't mark some of the fear types of fear that are bothering them in their life. But most Christians, even, and certainly the non-Christians never hear about this, but even the Christians seldom, probably 90% of the Christians, don't ever learn about this works of Jesus that he commanded us to do. In casting these spirits out, he gave us the power, the power of attorney, to speak in his name. And as you have been witnessing, Anthony, just like Monday night, we were commanding these spirits to come out in Jesus' name. I tried to get the head demon up. That only works about one out of three or four, and I couldn't get it up, but I just went to basic deliverance of working the list, working those groups and commanding them to come out. And of course we witnessed those yawns and burps and the tightening of his muscles and shaking and things as they came out. They come out a lot of different ways with people, but those are certainly common. Probably the bulk of people experience that kind of thing as the spirits come out. So, I'm sure we didn't count them, but we're bound to have unloaded a good three dozen, some that he didn't even think he had, and they were there because we've got asterisks on that problem list that people we give it out to them on a clipboard to circle. And there are certain groups that we've learned are always there in that package of three dozen, and they have asterisks on there, so we always address those, and sure enough, they were coming out. So, but anyway, I did talk to his wife today, and he left on a trip. He was flying someplace, but she said he was doing great. So that was
fantastic.
I didn't get any details, but within the week or so, hopefully you'll be able to contact him and get more details. There's no way he wouldn't be better. And he looked.
Oh, he's absolutely better. I could have never seen the guy smile that we went and got from the chair and brought him over. He didn't. I greeted him. I couldn't hear him for one. He was really kind of underspoken. And when he left, he's like, "Man, this is amazing. I feel great." His teeth were really wide, and I thought, man, you just, I told him, I said, I just can't imagine the difference. You look so much better. And I know he felt better. Not only did he look better, I know he knows he felt better. You could just see
well,
it
he
in
admitted,
his face. And
he admitted he felt lighter. You know,
yeah,
that's the
definitely.
Most common thing we
yeah.
hear people say when they leave on a Monday night or after a deliverance session. It's like a blanket of heaviness that comes off of them. And of course, when these spirits are gone, it's the real person that was there all the time, but covered over with these several dozen some odd spirits. And it, what's exciting is it's the real guy that's there. And now
right.
able to go forward using his God-given gifts and doing his destiny and a life abundant. And mm-hmm. so many Christians never experienced that. So it's sad, but at least we're on here telling it, and a certain number of people will rise to it just as we did.
I wish I would have known about this back, you know, back in high school and stuff, you know, when it was getting picked on and people poking fun at you and all that. Do you remember the story I told you about the angel down in Texas?
Oh, yeah. You might share that again quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was down in Texas, and a guy was just having a rip-roaring fit. He had thrown a guy out of the truck, and, I mean, I don't know what was fixing to go down. So I heard you say on Monday night, you know, Warren Angel, circle up. So I just said, Warren Angel, circle up. And I come around the corner, and the guy, as soon as I got around the corner, the guy saw me. He just froze, and he stopped yelling, leaned up against his pickup, got his phone out, and just started using the phone, and everything just immediately calmed down. I don't know if he saw something behind me from the Warren Angel circling up, or if God put his hand on him and told him, this is it, you're going to stop. But I've never seen a guy go from that irate to stop just that quickly.
And what Anthony is talking about, Hebrews 1:14, for example, where God's angels are to be of service to the heirs of salvation, which, of course, are us, that we can call on the angels directly. I thought for a number of years we had to go through the Godhead, you know, Father, in Jesus' name, we send angels, do this or that. But we can call on them directly, being joint heirs with Jesus, and they respond. And when I have a demon up manifesting, they'll always see the angel circle around us. I'll even ask them, how many angels do you see? And they'll tell me it's usually 8 or 10 or 12. And the fun part is then I say, now, are their swords drawn? And it'll say, yes. It intimidates them big time. And they'll even point out the meanest looking angel that take the person's arm in the manifestation and point at the biggest angel. So they are there for us to call on, to utilize. And they're there for us. And how awesome is that? That we little Christians here, well, we're not little, really. We're big in the spirit world, all of us. And we can call on them to back us. What's better than having angels backing us, Anthony?
Oh, absolutely. I'd say there's nothing any better. I've got a safe zone over me now that I had never even realized it. And, I mean, all that done was just, you know, plant my faith that much firmer in knowing that, you know, there's physically something around me at all times that can stop something like that. Just, I know it wasn't me.
Yes.
I mean, the guy could easily just kept on ranting and raving, and he just stopped. And I've just... It had to be the angel. That's the only explanation I have to it. And because I know I said angels circle. I warned angels circle up, and then I rounded the corner, and then that just halted.
And, yeah,
and it happened again the other day. The day after that, we were coming back from church and went into Walmart, and a guy was having a fit two rows over, and. I did the same thing. I said, Warren Angel, circle up. My wife's like, oh, no, you know, what's going to happen? So she kind of peeked around the corner and watched it. And I got in between these two guys. I said, listen, that's enough. And the guy just stopped. He stopped yelling. He stopped screaming. I said, y'all need to separate and stop this madness. And they quit and went on about their way.
Praise
and
God.
And I would have never done that had I not a witness to steal out in Texas, you know. But I thought, well, I'm going to try this again, you know.
Well, those guys probably saw those big angels behind you.
That's right.
Now, we've had some interesting experiences at the ministry through the years where on occasion demons would try to manifest and even get violent. And I first learned it 39 years ago when that was happening as I was observing a deliverance. And this pastor immediately took authority and said, in Jesus' name, be still. He was manifesting, even knocked a pastor in a metal chair backwards in this ministry room. And as soon as that pastor said, be still, you're bound, it immediately, the guy couldn't move. And we've used that through the years over and over. And, of course, we've seen angels even bring people back where the demons were manifesting. So the guy ran out of the church. I was ministering to him. He jumped out of the chair, ran out the church door, and we called on the angels to bring him back. And here he comes with something obviously on each arm and plops him down into the chair. We still talk about that. The two guys that were with me, when we see each other, we often remind each other of that experience. So, you know, we all have much more power to deal with angels at our backs and with the power we've been given from the cross, which is all power in Jesus' name, if we'll use it. So we're learning, and the listeners can learn as well. It's for all Christians.
Well, Anthony, Pastor, if you don't mind, I'd like to comment on the angels. The Bible tells us, I think one place is Revelations 5:11, that there's spirit and merit. And I've heard that used several times over the years. And I finally looked up the other day what the amount of merit is, and it's actually an innumerable number. An innumerable number. And since there's countless is another definition of a countless number, so countless upon a countless. So that means there's no shortage of us to call down upon. It's not like we call down on angels that we're taking the angels away from over there helping Brother Anthony or Brother Richard or Brother Everett out, that we can call them down. And it's great to have them call and circle up. But something I have been adding to my prayer life each morning is I go ahead before the day starts in the morning, I call down an assignment, place around my family members, place around our home, our property, businesses, around the children's school. I'll have them walk the school hallways. And, just something that kind of want to challenge listeners out there to start doing, because we do have that authority to do that.
And the angels, Ralph. The angels are waiting for assignments.
They are. Put them on
assignment. So why not?
Guard this. Yeah.
What's the downside?
Put them on guard. I just think if every Christian man in this world had would call out an assignment for angels to guard their children when they go to school at or something, how could a shooter or a kidnapper or anybody who wants to do any harm to a child at school be able to get through those front doors if there's an angel standing there guarding it? And
I absolutely do. Yeah, and this is like after what I saw at Texas, it's a guy to go from that rage to chilled out. He saw something I didn't see. So I definitely agree with you. I think we all need to use that tool more often.
Amen. Yes. Amen. So that's why we're testifying, to help to encourage people out there. I just wanted to get my little thoughts on that. The Spirit led upon me. Keep on talking, Brother Anthony. You're giving some good testimony.
Thank you for that very much. That's something I hadn't thought about, but I'm definitely going to add that to my prayer from every morning.
Yes. Yes. Good procedure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know when we do on Monday nights, when we go over to the worship side, we call on the angels to come down to assist and back the commands that we're doing to make sure that, all the evil spirits coming out go straight to the feet of Jesus. And we ask that the angels, command the angels to help these commandments. And that's where I got the idea from in Texas, and then saw, you know, basically saw that firsthand play out. So.
Do you remember that, and then of course there's the fallen angels, a third of, as the Bible says, a third of the angels were cast out of heaven that were in cahoots with Lucifer. And do you remember that case Monday before last, where I did get the head demon up? Remember, I think it was Confusion was a head demon. You remember that one, Anthony?
Yes, that's correct. It was Confusion.
And that, as I was interrogating the demon, I said, have you ever been cast out before? And it said, no. And I said, are you a fallen angel? Yes. Do you remember what it was like in heaven? And I think it said it was beautiful, or do you remember what it said, pretty or peaceful?
Yeah, he said it was really beautiful, and it was wonderful. And it to me, when you asked the demon that, it seemed to me like the guy's eye looked like he was starting to tear up. Can the demon show signs of that? I meant to ask you that, and I forgot about it.
I don't know, but I'm not surprised at anything. But they certainly can have fear themselves. I was ministering to one man in the office here a while back, and it was pretty stubborn. It was belligerent even, and I was having the angels jab at some to bring it in to cooperate. But finally I said to the demon, well, I'm going to call on Archangel Michael. And this demon, speaking through the man's mouth, said, no, not Michael. And I said, yes, I'm going to call on Michael now to come and use his sword. And I looked at the guy, and there were tears coming out of his eyes, which was in
wow.
The manifestation, of course. And so when Michael showed up, I never had any more problems with him. It was very cooperative from then on. So, you know,
the demon knew he was in trouble, didn't he?
yeah, he didn't want to see Michael, Archangel Michael, but they're always tall, because when I ask them to point out the meanest looking angel, you've seen this, Anthony, where it'll take the person's hand or arm, and it's always at a 45-degree angle where they point. Remember seeing some of that?
Yeah, definitely. It's just kind of right, kind of up in the corner of the room there. It's never straight up. It's always, you know, kind of like just off the distance, just right above, right above the floor would be there, you know, kind of. So do they fly, you think, or you think they're standing, or do we have any way of knowing?
I don't know. We could ask them that, I guess, interrogate them. But they mm-hmm. must be tall, because that they're pointing at a 45-degree angle from where we're mm-hmm. sitting, you know. So it's never level with us. It's always up.
Yeah, it's always above our heads, for sure. So it's at least midway up the wall, if not even a little higher. So
they have to be tall. But I think it's an excellent point to utilize God's angels more than we have been. That's a good lesson for all of us. And to utilize this service, as it says, they're to be of service to the heirs of salvation. And why not utilize them? Praise God. Whenever. We had a case where a demon jumped up. Well, in the manifestation, the person jumped up and started running out of the room, and one of the team leaders closer to the door immediately took authority, and it just went down on the floor. It was trying to get the person out of there. Well, when that, it startled the team leader to where she didn't think what to do, and as that person, that woman, was running out toward the door of the church that we minister at on Monday nights, she just said, in Jesus' name, stop. And she went down on the floor. So, you know, that power and authority is there for us as Christians if we'll just utilize it. Hallelujah.
I mean, there's a story he was telling not long ago about the one in the gas station with the lady where it was being robbed and the lady behind the guy there. You remember that story you were telling me?
Oh, yeah. That was in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
I saw a video. I don't know if it was the same one or not. It was several years back of a woman who was robbed at gunpoint. She was at a gas station or convenience store of some type, and you could see it on the video. The security cameras. Now you can't hear what she's saying, but she could testify what she was doing. The guy came in with a gun, and she pointed the her finger at the guy and said, "In Jesus' name, I command you to leave." And she kept saying it over and over. You could see her point her finger, and you could see the guy with the gun standing there like he was completely confused, and took the gun and pointed it like towards the ceiling, like his arms were. Like, what's going on? And he kind of hesitated, moved, and then turned around and walked out.
Yeah, that's wow. It again. Well, this one I was talking about was in the paper, and it told how it was a convenience store, and this guy comes in with a gun, and this Christian was behind the counter, and all she said to him was, "In Jesus' name, go." he left the gun on the counter and ran out.
Wow.
And that just makes you wonder, when people are doing things like that, if that's actually the demon in full manifestation using the person's body. So basically we're commanding the demon that's in that person. They have to do what we say in Jesus' name. Would you agree with that?
Exactly right. Oh, absolutely. And that guy we had a week before, Anthony, do you remember when the demon was up, confusion was up? He was not up. He knew nothing that went on while the demon was talking, the head demon. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he had no idea because he had remembered, you know, the lady that had screamed the week before and when you were given the beginning talk, and he was afraid that he had yelled out because he had no idea what had taken place, and that he knew the time was missing only by the clock, but he didn't know anything about what had happened during that time. So he literally, the demon was in full manifestation, and he knew nothing about what went on. You could tell on his face, he was like, "Oh, I didn't scream," because he had some friends there with him as well, and I don't think he wanted to act that way, but he was out.
You can see, Anthony, you can see how a demon of murder, which we run into quite a bit, if a demon, a head demon of murder was manifesting and it actually had taken over the person, there's going to be situations like that where the person really didn't know anything that was going on. People saw him commit the murder, so it was no question that he did it, but he was not there. He would say, "I blacked out. I can't remember any of this," yet people saw him do it. That would be one of those cases where the demon was in charge. It's only about 10% of the cases, but, you know, given all the demons around and the populace, how many people there are in the country, in the world, 10% is a lot, where demons
Absolutely.
Are really in control doing things. And that guy in Las Vegas, that seemed to be so premeditated, it would be hard to imagine. It was manifesting all the time. But I'm sure that there was demonic activity involved, and including spirits of murder. So, you know, we all have a lot of work to do in getting the word out and ministering to people along these lines and teaching them. Hopefully more churches will start focusing in these areas and get into the heavy duty stuff here that we're talking about. This is what God gave us to utilize. We're not to leave it alone, we're to do it. He commanded us to cast out demons and to heal the sick. These are commands. And how many Christians are doing the commands? You know, he said in his scriptures, "If you love me, you'll do my commands." And oh, more Christians should be rising to that. Would you all agree with that?
Amen. Yes, absolutely. I think we'd be living in a different world. Just based on what I've seen and you know, in the scheme of things, in the short amount of time I've been going, the lives that have been changed is just, it's miraculous. And I know that there's so much more need, you know, in the world for this line of work that, you know, and it just would amaze me how much, you know, better everybody could be, you know, all across the globe.
Yeah.
Like myself, even the physical healing that I've gotten, I used to go to the chiropractor 3 times a week. I haven't been since I've been going to Deliverance Ministry. So that's just
Hallelujah.
The healing alone, you could see how much the world would need.
That's saving you money there, Anthony.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I hadn't even considered that part of it.
Yeah, how much money will that save you in a year's time?
Oh, yeah.
Your chiropractor.
Yeah, not only that, not the ache and the pain, because, you know, even when you get adjusted, you still hurt. And if I have anything come up, my wife does the limb check over me and prays over my brainstem like we do on Monday nights. And if I have anything, it blows out. Just right there, it's gone.
Yeah. 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 Your wife can be the chiropractor.
Exactly, yeah. I can't say it too loud. She might start wanting some of that money in the chiropractor money.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's high adventure, and, you know, we never know what's going to go on next Monday. Would you say that's a fair question?
Oh, that's definitely a fair analysis. We never know, but I'm always up for the challenge, and I definitely say I'm learning new every Monday night, because no case is ever the same. I've definitely found that out.
And I'm sure you and your wife go home on highs after being in the middle of this.
Oh yeah, there's nothing like it. We both just talk and enjoy it and talk about, you know, what we've seen and how many people, because we watch the people as they come in, and then we'll watch them as they leave, and what you talked about, people saying, you know, they felt like they lost weight. It kind of makes me wonder if when they walk in and they're kind of hunkered over and they leave and they're upright and they're smiling, maybe they really aren't feeling that much heaviness. I just kind of put that together last Monday night on the way home when I was telling that.
Well, you may not know this, Anthony, but you know, our highest level of weight loss that we've had thus far through these years is 23 pounds in one session. For years, it was 17 pounds, and then a weightlifter told me the next day. I sometimes mention how people do lose physical weight. Not everybody does, but some do. And he called me the next day, and he said, "I watch my weight very closely, and I'm down 21 pounds from last night." And that was
Wow. That
was the highest level for some years. But then a rather heavy-set woman, she broke the record with 23 pounds lost. So that's the standing record we have at Deliverance Ministries. But I am convinced somewhere out there is a 30-pounder.
Yeah, you bet. You bet. You. It's kind of like a fishing story. We're going to fish until we find him.
that's our
new goal on Monday night. We're going to find it.
It wouldn't be one demon. It would be several, of course, several dozen demons that would represent the 30 pounds. I was just joking when I said that there's a big one out there somewhere. But maybe there is. Praise God.
Right, yeah.
Well, we do have an expression that they look like they have the weight of the world on them. And
and
I think that a lot of that weight of the worldly things, of the demonic realm, and things that are oppressing them on that. We're getting close to the end of the program here. Anthony, is there anything you want to add to before we finish up?
I'd like to say that I feel like you guys said, I think there's a lot more use for this, and I'd like to see a lot more people get into it, and even the churches open up a little bit more, because it's miraculous work, and you know, we're doing the work in Jesus' name, and I'd love to see the world change to doing this kind of works of Jesus.
and lay people could be doing it in the churches. It doesn't have to be the pastors. They're pretty busy anyway, but lay people could get trained and be ministering to the congregation, you know, by appointment. So that's what I'm believing. We'll see more and more of that.
Yes.
Thanks, Anthony.
Yeah, thank you, Everett. I appreciate you having me on again.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Good evening, brother. Well, that's the importance of the testimony. It gets the word out. It spreads. That's the way the gospel was to spread, was one person at a time telling someone else this testimony and this testimony. And, yes, there is that need for there is that need to get the word of deliverance and out to across this nation. And this weekend in Washington, D.C., there's a delegation of people gathering across this nation from all 50 states are setting up tents in D.C. And it's my understanding there are going to be teams of anywhere from 6 to 8 for every 2 hours. People are going to be praying for this nation for 48 hours straight. I do know some people that were going to it. That's why it was told me. And I shared it with some brothers in Christ. I know a brother who's going to go to Washington, D.C. this weekend, but led by the Holy Spirit to get the word of deliverance out to people he meets up there. So praise the Lord on that. I just pray, Lord, that bears good fruit. And I wanted to share this one last thing before we get off. My mom had heard the testimony, and she sent me a text about the young man. His name was Blake, who fell out of the window. She said that the neurosurgeon said he would have to be taught to walk and talk again. They said it's a miracle. The doctor said it's a miracle because he acts like nothing ever happened to him. And so praise Jesus
God
on that. And again, that doctor was testified that it was prayer that did it. So that is the just like the limb check and the cast out demons, the healing the sick, healing injuries. These are the power that Christians were given. And we just want to encourage everybody out there to walk and exercise that power. And we will see changes in this country because the name of Jesus can cause a man who's going to rob a convenience store, put a gun right down there on the counter. The power of Jesus, the name of Jesus, can cause a young man to have no problem from falling out a window. It makes me think about the man who fell out the window in the book of Acts, and he had hands laid on him, and he was healed. That happened then. It happens now. So praise you, Jesus. That is why we're here, and just going to give glory to the King.
Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord on that. Very, very thankful.
You might mention the website and all.
It's DeliveranceUSA.com is the website. You can go there, and almost everything we talk about is there for training, testimonies, prayers you can use, forms you can follow, and the book is called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox. It can be obtained from going to the website or getting a hold of Richard at the office there at Scriptures for America. And the office phone number is 307-742-7582. You get with Richard, and he will happily get that mailed out to you. And it is a good book to have. It's a good tool for your arsenal, and it helps you helps you understand, brings out the scriptures that show you which power you have, and you've got almost nearly 40 years of experience put down in that book to help you out. So thank you for joining us this evening, and good evening, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, blessings.
Sometimes the world seems like a hole. This place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case, 'cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every home. has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn.